of God. And we pray that something will be said this morning that will encourage all of us that we might be servants in the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus came to this earth, died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood to wash away the sins of the world. And Jesus has told us, everyone, to come unto him, all of those who are heavy laden, and he will give us rest. But we've got to come to Jesus to receive the free gift that he has given us. I am, as was said, Brother Wilkerson, and I am the assistant here to Brother Gary, and I have the pleasure of sharing the message with you this morning. And we have in our educational ministry been journeying through the Bible, and we're continuing to read through the Bible. I wanted to ask a question of you this morning. How many of you have eaten, by show of hands? How many of you have eaten? Okay, how many of you are going to eat today? I guess I should ask the question, how many of you are not going to eat? Something's going on with the mic here, I think. But how many, I didn't see any hands when I asked. I'm sorry, I wasn't looking. How many are not going to eat today? Okay, we got one hand. All right, one hand. And the reason I ask is because we are doing a daily read through the Bible. How many days can we skip? Job esteemed the word of God more than his necessary bread. And our suggestion is that as we read through the Bible, don't give up. Don't give up on reading through the Bible. You can get a read through the Bible schedule, and you can just pick up where you are and continue to go forward. It's just like missing a meal. We don't want you to miss too many of them. We want to obtain the nourishment that comes from the Word of God. Is that all right? The reading for this morning's series of lessons, notice I said series of lessons, comes from Esther. Our daily reading for today would be Esther chapter 7 through 10 and Acts chapter 6. And I am faced with an unusual dilemma in that I know how much time we need for our TV program. However, several of the brothers, including an elder or two, have mentioned to me the last couple of times that I preached on Sunday morning that my lesson was too short. So I have a series of lessons, and by 9 o'clock, okay, so 9 o'clock, 5 minutes before nine, y'all let me know when it's 5 minutes before nine, and then I can stop and get down. So just wave your hand like that. You know the technique. Wave your hand. One of the little sisters, one of the young girls, told me on last time, she said, Brother Wilkerson, I was waving my hand, and you didn't even see me. She's a little bitty one. Stand up and just wave your hand. So let me make sure that I'm down on the floor about 8:55. So I've got to preach a longer time this morning. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Now, when you get to Esther chapter 7, there is a lesson that we're going to take from Esther chapter 7 that will also apply in Acts chapter 6. And that is that we are to do God's will. But listen, if you do God's will, you're going to have enemies. It comes with the territory. In Esther chapter 7, God's people are captive in Persia. Esther is a Jewish young girl, and she has become queen of Persia. In Esther chapter 2 and verse number 7, we found out that her given name is Hadassah. Her Hebrew name would be the name Myrtle. Reminds me of when we were in Central America and doing some work there. One of the little girls there, her name was Myrtle, and they were going around teasing her, Myrtle the Turtle. So, you know, people can be so cruel. Kids can be so cruel. But Myrtle was queen of Persia. She gets the name Esther. It comes from the Persian, and that means star. She was queen of Persia, because Vashti, who was the queen, after her husband had a party for about 180 days or thereabouts, a week into the wine drinking, he sent for his wife and he said, "Come on, baby, I want everybody to see how good looking you are." Is that a good thing for a husband to do? Amen. Call for his wife. "Come on, baby, let me just show everybody how good you look." And Vashti said, "I am not coming out there to dance in front of you and all your drunken friends." And he was the king. And he said, "Wait a minute, what am I going to do?" And the princess said, "Listen, if you don't do something, then all of the men are going to have to suffer as a consequence of it."
All right, okay.
All of the men are going to suffer as a consequence if you don't do something about your wife refusing to obey you as king. And they decided, "Look, we're going to have a beauty contest and get all of the beautiful young maids to come, and they will come before the king and he will choose another wife, a queen. And then all of the women know that you need to do," getting kind of quiet in here, "what your husband requires for you to do." And that's how Esther became queen of Persia. And obviously, she was a star. They changed her name. That girl walked in. She had a year of beauty treatment. She was already a pretty woman. But sisters, if you have a year of beauty treating, how do you look then? After a whole year of being treated, and she walked in and, her name is Star. Now, she is Esther. It might also be associated from the Babylonian Ishtar, which was a Babylonian deity. Her uncle is named Mordecai, and he had reared Hadassah as his own daughter because she'd lost both of her parents. When she had become queen, Mordecai had told her, "Make sure that you don't tell the king that you are a Jew. We're going to keep that secret for right now." So her husband didn't even know what race she was. Now, interestingly enough, when those princes had come together, one of the higher and more significant ones among the priests was a man by the name of Haman. And Mordecai is going to develop a mortal enemy relationship because Haman is not going to like him. When Haman was such a great and royal prince, the king passed a law that says when Haman comes down, y'all bow down and reverence Haman. And Mordecai disobeyed the law because he was a child of God. And you know what he said? "People of God, do not reverence a man." Amen. In the church, we need to learn that. In the world of religion, even today, people need to know that. You reverence no man. You reverence no woman. You reverence no person. Appreciate Brother Horton's prayer. He was praying, "Remember that men who stand before you to teach and preach the word of God are servants in the kingdom of God." We need as much, if not more, help than everybody else in here. So we don't call anybody reverend. We don't call any man holy. That does not belong to man. It belongs to God. So he would not bow down, and Haman was not having any of it. This man won't bow down. Why won't he bow down? Because he's a child of God. He's a Jew. He won't reverence. In Esther chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Bible says, "And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not down, nor did him reverence, then was Haman full of wrath." And because this man stood for the principles of God, then Haman got angry. And he's, you know what the difference between being angry and getting wrath and wrathful? Wrath means, "I'm going to get you, sucker." Oh, you're not gonna reverence me? And you have people in the world of religion right now who expect for you to reverence them, to call them Dr. Reverend, this, that, or the other. Listen, that is not for men. And Haman shows us an example. And if you worship in some place where people are revered or reverenced, that does not come from God, and there's no salvation in it. Journey through the Bible, 365 days through the Bible. Read through the Bible and we'll find a lot of things. I'm going to give you a couple of questions about some things if you continue to journey with us that you may have found. And if not, you can go back and look for. Now, let me make an exception here. There is an exception where reverence may be entertained, where reverence may be had. That is wives. Who have any wives in here? Wives, it is permissible for you to reverence your husband. Did y'all turn it on? I heard somebody over here say that again. Y'all, you didn't hear me? Okay, wives, it is permissible for you to reverence your husband. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 6, the Bible says, even as Sarah obeyed Abram, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and not afraid with any amazement. She called her husband Lord. Sister, when was the last time you reverenced your husband, calling him Lord? I'll give you something, just something to practice on. If you're at home and you walk around and you find that your husband has come in, sisters, listen, you say, oh, my Lord, he's home. Do y'all want some practice on that right now? Oh, my Lord, he's home. Now, don't misstate it. You can use the same words, but you misstate the principle. Because sometimes people use it the wrong way. They go, oh, my Lord, he's home. Same words, different inflection, completely different meaning. But that's the only reverence of a man that is acceptable to the people of God. And I know I'm getting some pushback on that, but listen, sisters, y'all practice that. Last time I mentioned something like this, there was one sister that met me at the back door. She said, Brother Wilkerson, I do that for my husband. Sister, where are you? Raise your hand. Oh, okay. Don't raise your hand. There'll be sisters that want to talk to you. So Haman devised a scheme that he's going to kill not only Mordecai, but since the Jews don't reverence man and bow down to man, he's going to kill all of the Jews. And in the church, as members of the family of God, we've got to maintain our distinction and stay with the word of God. But if you stay with the word of God, believe me, you will have enemies. And the unfortunate thing about it is sometimes as members of the family of God, we don't understand that we don't bow down to men. Don't become apologetic for the word of God. Don't ever apologize for what God says. Don't ever apologize for what God teaches. Now, in Esther chapter 3 and verse number 9, Haman had gone to the king, and notice, he's bargaining to kill off all of the Jews. Notice, he says, if it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those who have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. You know what, king? Let's just kill off all of these people that don't follow the law. They are breaking your law, king. And they don't do anything the way the other people do. And you know what? I'll give you 10,000 talents of silver. Just let me kill them off. And you know what the king did? He says, get to it. You're a prince. Go ahead and handle the business. Now, this is the other thing. We need to be careful who we co-sign for. Before you start to endorse what somebody else says, you need to check into the fine print. Check into the details, because we don't know what their motivation is. We don't know what it is that they are causing to be having to be done. And we need to make sure that we check diligently before we start co-signing somebody's or authorizing somebody's wrathful behavior. When Mordecai heard that the law had been written, and the law of the Medes and Persians, when it's written, it does not change. He got them to write it and send it out to 120 provinces all around the country. We're going to kill these people on the 13th day of the 12th month. We're going to kill all of them off. And Mordecai, who was an official in the king's gate, when he heard the report, he put on sackcloth and he's mourning and he's crying because somebody has condemned all of his people. And his daughter, niece, Esther, heard that he was in sackcloth. And she's sending word to her uncle, why are you mourning? Why are you crying? What's wrong? He would not be comforted. She said, stop doing it. She sent him some new clothes from the queen's house for him to get dressed. He said, I'm not putting them on. And she says, what is the matter? And he let her know that the king had signed an order to kill all of the Jews. And he said, listen, maybe you need to talk to your husband. You know, he doesn't know you're a Jew. But he tells her, don't think that you're going to escape just because you're in the king's house. It may be that God has brought you into that relationship, brought you into that palace, brought you to be queen for just an occasion as this. So talk to your husband. Sisters, is it all right for you to talk to your husband? Oh, Lord. I guess I shouldn't have told you that I had extra time this morning. All right, stay with this. A Bible study is about to break out here. In Esther chapter 4, we find that Esther is a little bit reluctant to serve. In Esther chapter 4 and verse number 11, I know you were, because I said chapter 7, and I'm only in chapter 4. They're going like, oh, Lord. In Esther 4 and 11, I'm giving you some highlights, some background, because if you're not familiar with it, it won't make sense. Esther 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. Now Esther sent word back to Mordecai, you're talking about going in and seeing the king. You know that you just cannot walk up and see the king. Wait, you're the queen. What do you mean you just can't walk up and start talking to the king? She said, everybody knows that if you walk up to the king and you have not been called for, it is a death risk. You can be killed, whether man or woman. Notice the last part of this verse, in verse number 11. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. Man, her kingship has privileges. She's a star. Esther, Myrtle, Hadassah, the beauty contestant winner. She said, my husband hadn't called to see me in 30 days. Sisters, how long is too long for your husband not to summon you? Oh, see, I used the wrong word, right? Say, oh, you are starting something. He better not be summoning me. Okay, see? All right, Brother Ben, Brother Harris, Brother Wilson, Brother Harris, you know, we got some things to work on. You can work on in our marriage workshops. The queen, the star, had not been called to come before her husband for 30 days. And she said, okay, I'll tell you what. You fast all of the people, get all of the people to fast. We're going to fast for 3 days. We're not going to eat. We're not going to drink. Y'all fast for 3 days. And I and my maids, we're going to fast for 3 days. And then I'm going to go before the king. And if I die, I die. I'm going to do what I need to do. What would you do to help your people if it puts you at risk? There's a principle here, servants in the kingdom of God. That's all of us who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. It puts you at risk to help somebody. It takes your time to serve somebody. It takes your money to serve somebody. And there are people that will become your enemies if you choose to serve somebody. Esther had to come to the realization, I'm going to do what I need to do because God has given me the ability and the opportunity to it. And if I die, I die. That's a great attitude for us as members of the church to have. Do what God calls for us to do. And if we die, we go on to be in glory. Isn't that all right? A blessing from the Lord. Brother Gary asked in his lesson on last week about how many people are ready to go to heaven. And that question's been asked by preachers for a lot of times. And, you know, people sometimes they ask them to raise their hands. And on one occasion, a preacher asked that question and everybody raised their hand. And I said, look, you know, I don't ask that kind of question in an assembly because I don't want folk to lie because that's something you got to repent of. But the preacher asked for the folk to raise their hands. And everybody raised their hand except for one little sister. And when the preacher finished and he got down and he was at the door, he said, sister, well, I noticed that when I asked how many people were ready to go to heaven, that you were the only one, that you didn't raise your hand. She said, yeah, preacher, I heard you, but I thought you meant right now. This is the point. If we're not ready right now, what makes you think that we will ever be ready? We've got to get ready right now because this is the only time that we have. And we must be ready. When Jesus comes, it's too late. And we don't know when he's coming. If I die, I die. If we die doing what God has called for us to do, praise to the Lord. Praise the King. In Esther chapter 5. And verse number 1, the Bible says, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. She didn't just walk up any kind of way to see her husband's sisters. The sister got dressed up. I'm going to see my husband. She put on the royal apparel. How long does it take for a sister to get ready when she's going to see her husband? Huh? Do you get dressed up? Go and see my man. Go and see my husband. Or you put on that house coat that's been through too many wash cycles. I'll fade. Falling apart, put all of the curlers up in. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Nobody has any idea what I'm talking about. Esther got ready to go see her man. She put on the royal apparel. She knows again that she's putting her life in her hands and she wants to make a good impression. Does it make a difference? Notice in the latter part of verse number 1, Esther chapter 5, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. In verse number 3, we see that she did get an audience with the king. You know what he did? He held out the royal scepter. Baby, you look good. Come on in here, girl. Are you saying? I'm paraphrasing. You understand what I'm saying? Notice, in verse number 3, now she gets to make a request of her husband, the king. Then Esther In Esther chapter 7, verse number 3, the queen answered and said, "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request." She said, "Husband, I just want to ask for my life. I don't want to be killed. And if it pleases you, not only save my life, I want to save the life of my people." And the king is confused. Now, this might be something that you didn't know about, those of you who are married. And I'm not just speaking on marriage, but, you know, I see a situation here that we need to speak to. Have you noticed that sometimes husbands don't speak wife? Y'all trying to figure out what does that mean? And wives don't speak husband. We're separated by a common language. "I heard what you said, girl, but I know I don't even know what you're talking about." Has that ever happened? Oh, Lord. Now, none of y'all know anything about any of this. You've never heard your wife say something and you understood every word and didn't know what she was talking about. Thank you, brother. Hey, brother is sitting in the amen corner. Notice. And the king's going like, "What are you talking about? Who's trying to kill you? Who's trying to kill your people?" Remember, he co-signed for Haman. He didn't even know all of the details of it. And his wife hadn't told him, "I'm a Jew," yet. In Esther chapter 7 and verse number 6, "Baby, who's trying to do this to you?" Notice what she says. And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." She had invited the king and Haman, the prince, to a drinking banquet, a wine banquet for 2 days. They drank wine the first day and they came back the second day. And Haman is feeling all good. He's like, "Oh man, don't nobody get to have this drinking banquet with the queen except for me and the king." And she drops the bomb. The person is trying to kill your wife. The person that's trying to kill Hadassah, the person that's trying to kill Myrtle, the person that's trying to kill your star is this wicked Haman. And Haman all of a sudden understood, "Oh, I'm in trouble now." Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. The king was so angry, so upset, he got up. And verse number 7, "And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden." He got up. Look, when you get angry, some people need to take a walk. Take 10 seconds. Think about what you're going to say or do before you think about it, or before you say it, before it comes out. Once it comes out of the lips, you can never get it back again. I don't care how many sorries. I'm sorry. It will never, ever come back again. Words are eternal, and they find a lodging place in the psyche of human beings. The king got up, and now Haman is in the room with his wife alone. They didn't eat dinner like we eat dinner, sitting in chairs. They sat on reclining couches, beds, if you will, sofas, beds, in order to eat. And Haman is begging Esther for his life. And as he's begging Esther for his life, he falls up on the bed while the king is out in the garden. Have you seen this movie before? The king walks back in and Haman is on his wife's bed. Wait a minute. It's in the book, y'all. See, journeying through the Bible, you find stuff. 365 days through the Bible, you find stuff. In verse number 7, finishing it up, Haman stood up to make requests for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. And when the king comes in and he's on the bed, he say, "He gonna attack my wife in the house." Woo! He had gone out to think, but he didn't go back out to think this time. He said, "This man got to die." He had built a gallows to hang Mordecai on. And this is another principle. When you start setting up things for other people, be mindful of the fact that you can fall into the same trap that you set for somebody else. Esther received her request. But since it was written in law that they could kill the Jews on the 13th day of the 12th month, that law could not change. But what the king did, he told Mordecai, hey, you take the king's writers, here's the ring that belonged to Haman, and you write whatever you want to write to see how we can help you and your people out. In Esther chapter 8 and verse number 11, the Bible says, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life. You know what he said? If somebody try to come and kill you, you can defend yourself. Is that okay? Does somebody have to tell you that? These slaves in the Persian Empire now and all 120 provinces are now able to defend themselves. In Esther chapter 8 and verse number 17, and in every province and in every city whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness and a feast, a good day. And many of the people, get this, of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Those Jews started defending themselves. They killed 500 people at the palace. And everywhere they went in the 120 provinces, they rose up, they defended themselves, and they were killing people so quickly and so blatantly that there were some folks, because of fear of the Jews, you know, they said, hey, look, I'm a brother too. I mean, I'm a Jew too. Did you get it? To get because I'm a Jew. I'm just like you. Because y'all killing everybody. I want you to know, I'm one of y'all. Listen. And Mordecai in Esther chapter 10 and verse number 3, the Jew was next to the king Ahasuerus and great among the Jews and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed. Esther, Myrtle the turtle, Ishtar, she was able to save her people. Hadassah through her uncle. And we don't think about this, but Mordecai became second in line to the king of Persia because of his greatness. Man, God is good. When you stand up to do right, God will grant deliverance to you, brother. God will grant deliverance. In the book of Acts chapter 6, you didn't think I was going to get there, did you? God blesses the people of God in the church with members. The church was growing. You need to understand this, that everybody comes in among us. Every single person here has some need. And our role, our responsibility is to see how best we can meet their need. We are servants of the Most High King. And in this case, as the church was growing, Acts chapter 6 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. See, when you have growth, sometimes problems can occur. And it was a legitimate problem. The Grecians say, y'all treating the Hebrew widows better than you're treating the Grecian widows. It was a language and culture problem, but they're all the same race of people. And when people feel neglected, we need to make sure that we address their needs. It's an opportunity to serve and an opportunity to grow. Thank y'all. Ooh, look at you. Some of y'all remember to wave your hands. I heard something about wave your hand in the air. Oh, I hear some of y'all. Something else come after that. Stop. In Acts chapter 6, in verse number 2, the Bible says, then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, get this, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. I want to make sure that we understand this. That was a significant problem, and it had to be addressed. When we have problems in the church, they must be addressed. But listen, there is nothing at any time that should ever cause us to leave the Word of God. We saw on last occasion as our preaching how that the Word of God got lost in the house of God. You've got people that don't even know what the Word of God says, and the Word of God is going to judge us in the last day. And what the apostle said, look, find 7 men among you that we may appoint over this business. And they found 7 brothers. And everybody has been asked this year to serve in at least one ministry. Are you serving in yours yet? Listen, all of us need to be serving. We're servants in the kingdom of God. All of us have an opportunity to help somebody. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4, the Bible says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Somebody needs to make sure that we are staying with the word. Somebody needs to make sure that we keep teaching and preaching the word of God. Somebody needs to know what thus saith the Lord. Stay with the word of God. Journey through the Bible just like you eat every day. Read through the word of God. Pick up your reading schedule. Start reading every single day. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 5, they chose those 7 brothers, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. They chose Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. In Acts chapter 6 and verse number 7, the Bible says, and the word of God, what increased? What increased? So when we address the issues, handle the problems, and we stay with the word of God, what increased? And the word of God increased. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to increase the knowledge of God, increase the word of God among the people of God. That's what we need to have an appetite for, is the word of God. How long would you go on a fast? My wife and I, on occasion, have done the lemonade fast. Y'all ever heard of that? Lemonade fast. So you make up this lemon juice with cayenne pepper and with maple syrup. And you have to drink at least 60 ounces every day. And you do it for 10 days. Now, back when Beyonce did it, they started calling it the Beyonce fast. That was around long for Beyonce. And it creates a body cleansing, a detox. You don't eat any solid food for 10 days. And you got 3 days that you come down off of the fast. How many ready to join me on that? All right, we got one over here. How many of the rest of y'all going like, I don't care what you're saying, I'm going to give me something to eat. The point I'm trying to make here, it doesn't matter anything about what I say with respect to the word of God. You pick it up and you eat it on a daily basis. Eat the word of God. Count it as more than your necessary food. All right, I'm done. I'm fixing to extend the invitation here. I got 2 minutes. But now notice, Stephen got some power. Verse number 8, full of faith and power, he did great wonders and miracles among the people. All he was doing was serving and doing great wonders. But look at verse number 9. Then there arose of a certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cretans and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. Who was doing the disputing? These folks from these other religious organizations, we don't like what you're preaching. He's just preaching the word of God. They were disputing with him. He was not disputing with them. But when you preach and teach truth, there are folk that get angry. And now notice in verse number 10, the Bible says, and they were not able to resist the spirit and the wisdom by which he spake. You know, this man is really making sense. So they got people to lie on him so they could murder him. And when they brought him before the council, look at this. Acts 6 and verse number 15. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. All right, I'm through with the lesson. I'm just extending the invitation. But I want you to do something for me in this brief little section here. I want you to show the people around you what the face of an angel looked like. Put on your angel face. That's it? Okay. They looked at him. You know what? We're not trying to hurt anybody. We're not trying to harm anybody. All we want to do is share the word of God. It costs Stephen his life, but we are willing to lay down our lives to stay with the word of God. They said, he's teaching things about Jesus. Talking about Jesus going to change the law and the customs of the people. And he's going to move people away from Moses and all of that. And they stoned him to death. And you know what Stephen did? Now, that's in chapter 7. You have to get to that. You have to read. You know what? He called upon God. Lord, they are killing you, Stephen. What are you going to say? Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. What? Lord, don't hold them accountable for it. These people, just like when they killed, they murdered Jesus, they don't even know what they're doing. So when people hate you for preaching and teaching the truth and standing with the truth and not bowing down and reverencing people who are teaching false doctrine and leading people astray, don't worry about that. Just stay with God. You know what they taught? He taught the same thing that the Bible teaches over in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verses 1 through 4. That Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture. That he was buried. He arose again the third day according to the scripture. Now, that is the essential of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when Peter preached that up on the first Lord's Day, they ask the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? And the answer is still the same. Repent and be baptized. How many? What does it say? Every one of you by whose authority? In the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. And you receive the remission of sins. For the remission of sins, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's the only way that you can be added into the church of Christ. And there is but one you can be added, but that makes folks angry. Don't worry about folk being angry. We're not trying to anger anybody. Just put on your angel face. Some of y'all didn't do too good on practicing putting on your angel face. But if you are subject to the Savior's invitation, or if you'd like to request prayer, the opportunity is before you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls.